Across the country, there are 5,000 volunteers trained as wildlife rehabilitators. They care for injured and orphaned animals until they're healthy or mature enough to return to their natural habitat. The hard part of the job is making sure the wild animals remain wild. This past year, Nancy Cohen followed a wildlife rehabilitator from Massachusetts who, according to critics, uses unconventional methods that could lead an animal to lose its fear of humans.
It's late spring, about a month or so after most mammals give birth, the time of year when 53-year-old Sally Beckwith has a backyard full of orphaned wild mammals. Among her charges today are 8 gray squirrels, 1 river otter, and a squirming pile of ravenous raccoons.
These guys are real fussy eaters, abnormally fussy eaters. I generally can feed 3 at a time easily at this age, and I can't. I just barely can control 2.
Animals can lose their mothers in all kinds of ways. Cars and trucks kill a lot of animals. Heavy rains can flush young animals from their dens. Sometimes well-meaning people mistake young animals for orphans and pick them up. Wildlife officials direct many of these animals to people like Beckwith, who have state permits to raise them. Beckwith works with mammals that are predators.
From newborn, I mean with umbilicals still attached, all the way up to a juvenile, one that has been weaned.
Just as human infants require a lot of attention, so do these animals. Beckwith takes care of them while holding down a full-time job writing software. She carts the nursing animals with her to work every day and runs home at lunch to feed the older ones. She washes 4 loads of rags daily in the springtime and spends about $200 a month on supplies. By the end of the year, she'll have raised 71 animals, but she'd never accept help bottle feeding them.
I wouldn't ever allow anybody else to nurse this baby, nor would I allow anybody else to comfort her or to take her for a walk. I would never expect her to follow another human being. That is reserved for her mother.
Reserved because Beckwith wants the animals she raises to bond to her and only to her, just as they would with their mother. But most rehabilitators discourage that type of bond. They say an animal that's bonded to its human caretaker will no longer fear humans. Beckwith says that's not the case if the bond is exclusive.
When he identifies with me singly as his caretaker, he doesn't transfer that belief or that trust in anything else, not another raccoon, not another otter, not another person, not another dog. He's looking to his mother because he's supposed to look to his mother to survive.
The maternal-like bond that's at the heart of Beckwith's work sets her apart from her peers.
It is absolutely contrary to standard rehabilitation, which has always been that an animal who is bonded or is relates to a human being must be tamed, and they'll get into trouble when they're released. And that is not the case.
Beckwith has raised hundreds of animals this way. Her success has earned her the respect of state wildlife officials. And this past year, she served as president of the Massachusetts Wildlife Rehabilitators Association. Beckwith has found there's a bonus to bonding. It makes a young animal feel secure enough to explore woods and streams without wandering too far. She can raise animals without locking them in cages very often, giving them unfettered time in their natural habitat. Beckwith sits in a kayak while a 3-month-old female river otter, she calls What-What, learns for the first time what river really means.
What-What? There you go, you're a girl.
Although this otter's never swum very far before, she's a natural. Undulating through the water, her webbed feet push in unison like a single paddle.
Here she comes, lickety-split. Come on. She looks like a torpedo coming through the water. Look at that.
Beckwith would prefer to raise an animal with other orphans of the same species so that they learn by interacting with each other. But in this case, she's the otter's playmate, the sole playmate.
She's not looking for you. She's not wanting your play, though I think she probably would if I allowed it, but I won't allow it. I don't let anybody else play with her. As the mother, I don't want to provide her the lesson that people are okay.
Hey girl.
Soon, this otter will be catching crayfish, and then later, finfish. By August, Beckwith will drop her off alone at the river every morning and return after work to pick her up.
Mom! Come on!
I'll come by first thing in the morning, probably panicked, make sure my kid's all right. Then she'll come in on time, probably for another week, and then she'll skip another day, and then she'll skip two, and then she'll skip a week, and I won't see her, and I'll be checking for tracks as opposed to coming to get her. But I will not ask her to come home. It's a process that they define, not me.
By mid-November, this otter went back to the wild. Despite her attachment to her animals, Beckwith is practiced in giving them up when they're ready to go. This is the ninth river otter she's raised. Beckwith says her approach also works with fox and fisher, skunk and woodchuck. But she's about to take a big risk, one that's already drawn concern from others in her field. She's going to raise a group of orphaned coyotes by bonding with them. That could be dangerous, says John Huckabee, a wildlife veterinarian and a board member of the National Wildlife Rehabilitators Association.
It prevents the development of a normal fear of humans. That can often lead to problems with an animal challenging and attacking a human, or problems in which the public safety is compromised.
Beckwith doesn't take such risks lightly.
I don't want to do a disservice to my community. And the way to do that would be to not end up with a real coyote at the end of this. So it's a big one for me. Very big one.
This is uncharted territory, even for an innovator like Beckwith. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Cohen.
Tomorrow, the controversy over a group of orphaned coyotes.